Good morning. Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be in this place of worship, and it's good to be with you. I was blessed as we pondered different thoughts this morning. The fact that we need courage, and that is such a true element of life. And then also as we looked into the story of Gideon, again, that's a reminder of God is with us no matter where we're at in life. Had to think about it as we were winding our way over here, went past different churches, and remember the one for sure was looked like a huge church, many people flocking in. But does that mean that God is there? Well, we hope he is, but I'm thankful that we can gather this morning and know that God is here, and it's faithfulness to God that gives us the assurance that God is with us. So I just want to encourage you in that. I do invite you to come visit us in Ohio when you have time. You might want to wait till it warms up a little bit. It's pretty chilly there right now, so we're thankful to be in the South. And we are enjoying our time down here. And we'll be good to head home, but it does make it a little harder to go home when you know how cold it is there, but we do need to head back home again. So I've been pondering what God would have us for us this morning, and there is a thought that I've been thinking about that I do want to share with you, and trust that God can minister to your heart and you can hear from him this morning. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells a little story, and this little story is about a man who found a pearl, and it's called a pearl of great price. And I don't know if you this morning are familiar with pearls. I'm not, but I thought it's interesting, and I just use this to introduce the thought of the message this morning. Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So Jesus wants us this morning to sell all that we have to pursue the pearl. And we know that Jesus is the pearl of all pearls, but yet when we follow Jesus, we find precious pearls. And we want to look at one of those pearls this morning. And I've entitled the message, The Priceless Pearl of Peace. The Priceless Pearl of Peace. Many people would give anything to experience peace. And we know that people everywhere are pursuing peace. They're searching frantically for this pearl of peace. And here are just a few general thoughts about peace before we go more into it. And that is that peace is indeed the longing of every human heart. I'm not aware of anybody out there that would rather not have peace. People love to have peace. It's the elusive desire of every fallen son of Adam. We know that we're born into sin, we're born into a world of sin, and peace can seem so elusive. It's that pearl that we're seeking for. Peace is the message of the gospel of Christ. And we know that the formula for peace is bound up in the message of the gospel. Jesus has given us the key for peace, and we'll see that here in a little bit as we go more through the message this morning. Peace is the answer for every heart that is touched with anxiety and turmoil. So peace is a wonderful thing that came to us through Jesus, but yet it breaks down into our lives that we can live, and it's the answer for every heart that is touched with anxiety and turmoil. I would like to use Philippians 4 for our text this morning. And verse 7, we'll look at more of these verses in Philippians. But Philippians 4, verse 7 is what I'd like to use as the text. And it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We have here the promise of peace. The question is, how can we experience this promise? You know, it's not some future promise. We look forward to the time when we could be with God and leave this world of sin and leave the conflicts, the turmoil. Someday we can experience peace. But this morning, we're talking about the precious pearl of peace that we can experience. And it's not just some future promise. We can experience this. It's not some mystical, elusive, perfect scenario that we need to try to attain to. So this peace, back in Matthew, talked about that man that went and found it. And sometimes we search for peace and we try to figure out how to get there, yet this peace we can experience. This is a promise that we can live every day. However, it is a peace which passes all understanding. It's hard for us really to explain this peace, but it's such a wonderful thing to experience this peace. And of course, the big question is, how can we live in this peace? So we've been talking about peace. What is peace? There's a beautiful picture of this in Mark 4, and I just want to read this account before we look more into Philippians. So just keep your finger in Philippians. We'll be coming back there. But what is peace? Beautiful picture here of peace in Mark 4, 35. And I'll read these verses and just picture this scene again as we read these verses. And the same day when the even was come, this is Jesus, he saith unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The picture of peace. The Bible dictionary says peace is inner tranquility. The dictionary says that peace is a state of tranquility or quiet, freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. You know, it's easy for us to imagine peace as, and it's easy for us to imagine the feeling that flooded over the disciples as they were there with Jesus in this boat among these roaring waves. And the Master, Jesus, stands up and he says, "Peace, be still." Can you imagine or just feel that peace that comes? And what it is. Now we know that this is a beautiful illustration of what Jesus will do for us in the storms of our life when he speaks those words, "Peace, be still." What is peace? It's a gift from God. Satan tries to deceive people in feeling a sense of peace, which is not true peace. And what we might run into that some in our communities where you know somebody's living apart from God, and yet it seems like nothing really bothers them. And maybe there's that false sense of peace. But yet we know it's a counterfeit. It's not the true peace that God offers. Peace is a gift from God. Peace is able to stand before God uncondemned. And again, that's a beautiful thing that we probably can't really wrap our minds around totally at this point in our life. The songwriter, we have the song that says, "Peace, perfect peace." And in that hymn, the songwriter raises five questions. And I understand that he wrote that song as his friend lay dying. And death is one of the hardest things for us, and it's the hardest things where one of those things where we really struggle to find peace. And he raised the hymn writer raised these five questions. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. Peace, perfect peace by throngings, duties pressed. Peace, perfect peace with sorrows surging round. Peace, perfect peace with loved ones far away. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Is there answers to these questions? And sometimes in these questions is where we struggle to find peace. The dark world of sin, thronging duties press, sorrow surging round, loved ones far away, and future all unknown. Jesus says, peace, be still. Jesus calmed the waves. Can you feel that peace? Do you know that peace? Are you finding peace through Jesus? You know, sometimes in the boat, the waves are crashing. We're in a storm. And what do? You know, we try to get a bigger bucket. We try to bail water faster. We summon our friends to help us. Until we're worn out, we're exhausted, and it seems like we have no other option. And then we are like, call on Jesus. And he says, peace, be still. Let's go back to Philippians 4 and look at more closely at the priceless pearl of peace. I want to read verses 1 through 9, Philippians 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I'd like to remind you, as we think of the precious pearl of peace, I'd like to remind you of the process of making a pearl. And again, I'm not real familiar with this process, but I understand that the most valuable pearls are made by oysters. And a small foreign object, somehow, maybe a piece of sand, finds its way inside the protective shell of the oyster. And this foreign object is referred to as an irritant. So to protect the oyster's vital organs, there's a natural substance inside the shell that starts to form around this foreign object or this irritant. And that process, as that process happens, it eventually becomes a pearl. So that natural substance inside the oyster is forming around that foreign object, that irritant, and it develops into a pearl. Sometimes it takes 6 months, sometimes it takes 4 years. Now, I don't want to imply by that that peace in our hearts needs to take that long. But we know that peace can be a process sometimes. Peace, we know, can be had in a moment. However, we know that there's many things that go into this thing of living our lives and experiencing the peace in our hearts. And I do acknowledge this morning that sometimes it's an ongoing process. It's not just once and done. It is something that we need to continually work on. So we had the verses that we read here in Philippians, and they're written by Paul. And I wondered what does Paul know about peace? I believe as he wrote these words, he was locked up. It's doubtful whether Paul would ever be a free man again. Was he experiencing peace? Paul was trying to be a church leader while under house arrest. Paul was not free to go where he wanted to go. Also, Paul realized that there were other people who were trying to take advantage of his ministry while he was incarcerated or while he was under house arrest. Philippians, the beginning of the book, has two verses. It says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So this is the environment that Paul is in. He's not free to go labor as he wants to in God's kingdom. There's people that are taking advantage of him. It seems that Paul could have panicked. He could have worried. He could have fretted. He could have been thinking about all the things that he should and could be doing. And here he was seemingly stuck and useless. Did Paul have the priceless pearl of peace? Did Paul know the peace that passes all understanding that he was writing about? You know, just think again. A pearl is made when that irritant enters the shell. And the process of nature slowly forms around that small particle and develops into this beautiful pearl. And I think in our lives, we have many irritants, lack of peace, the guilt, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the turmoil, the discouragement, the trouble, the sin. All of these various irritants that can slip into our soul that should make us seek the pearl of peace. We should long for peace. I would like to highlight this morning four facts that we find in these verses that will help us as we seek peace and especially this priceless pearl that Jesus makes possible for us. I believe we see four things in these verses, and I would like for us just to think about them each for a few moments. And the first one we find, and I want to suggest these as the process for this priceless pearl that we need in our lives, we long for, we want peace. Four things I see here as a process that will help us obtain this pearl of peace. And the first one we find in verse 1, it says to stand fast in the Lord. Verse 1, Paul addresses the brethren here, and he says, so stand fast in the Lord. And the first step in the process of the pearl of peace is our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is the foundation of all peace. The first step in true peace. True peace, true, pure, priceless peace comes when we understand that we are a sinner and call out in repentance to God for forgiveness and turn from our sins. That's where peace starts. And if we don't start with that process, we will struggle to find peace and to have peace. So the first thing is to make sure that we have reached out to God and established a relationship with God. Now, Paul is talking to people who have a relationship with God. This already has been established. He's talking to the church at Philippi, and they have already reached out to God. He's talking to believers. And that brings the second element to this thing of standing fast in the Lord. Peace is not only means coming to God, but it means keeping our relationship current and vibrant. You know, I remember well The peace that flooded my heart when I accepted Christ as my Savior. But I also remember very well the struggle for peace because of things I allowed in my life that God did not want. They did not honor God. And why was that? It was because I was not standing fast in the Lord. And when I was not standing fast in the Lord, peace was elusive. I couldn't find that peace. I couldn't stay in that peace. So the first key to peace is to stand fast in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to stand fast in the Lord? And we have Paul. He has told us this before, because back in the beginning of this letter to the church at Philippi, verse 27, I believe it is, he has said, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Standing fast. These two English words are actually one Greek word, which is a military word, which means to stand your ground, stand your post in the midst of battle. It means to hold your position while under attack. Stand firm no matter what comes. You don't crumble under persecution or compromise. You don't crumble under testing and complain. You don't crumble under temptation and sin. Stand firm, spiritually stable. The other thing to note here is it says, stand fast in the Lord. That is a command. The Lord is telling us. It's not an option. He's saying, I want you to stand firm. God wants you to be firmly, solidly convinced that He is the only true God, and He is the everything for life, and that you will follow Him and obey Him with all of your energy, all your heart, all your mind, totally sold out for God. That is the first step to the priceless pearl of peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. However, there are some more additional things that we need as we develop this priceless pearl of peace. And the second one I find in verse 2. Verse 2, he is imploring these two individuals, and we don't know a lot about them, but he is saying that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And this second step in this process is our relationship with others. Peace means having peace with others. So we talked first of all about our relationship with God as the foundation of our peace. The second one is our relationship with others. Peace means having peace with others. And it would be helpful for us, it'd be interesting to know more details about what is going on here in verse 2. We do know there was two individuals in the church, and Paul is aware of this situation, and Paul is imploring them to, we use the term sometimes, bear the hatchet, to whatever it is that's causing the lack of peace, that they just drop that and let it go. And again, we don't know what all the details are here, but being at peace does not always mean that we will agree with everyone, but there is a peaceful way to go about our relationships with other people, and there is a non-peaceful way to relate to people we do not agree with. And obviously, it appears here that these people had a disagreement, and Paul is telling them to find a peaceful way to relate to each other. Relate to each other in a spirit of peace and be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3 builds on this idea, and it also gives us some help in how to build on this idea of being in peace in our relationships. Verse 3. It's one of the thoughts that it brings out is working together. Working together to help each other find our way with God adds beauty to the pearl of peace. So the question, are you doing what you can to help others find their way with God? Are we doing what we can to live in peace with others? And I find that this will directly impact the peace in our heart. That the way we relate to others, how we help each other, will affect our own peace. So if we're relating to others in peace, it's also going to affect our own peace. And peace in relationship, it's one of those beautiful things that the way it works best is if we give it before we receive it. And I don't know how to explain that other than to say that it's a God thing where we give it before we receive it. And that's a wonderful thing about the pearl of peace. 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Again, focusing on the fact that the best way to have peace is to help each other and to do what we can to benefit somebody else in their lives. The third process we want to look at this morning is found in verse 4, and it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And that process I have labeled as our relationship with our circumstances. Peace results when we are at peace with whatever we face in life. And I acknowledge this morning that this can be a hard area to have peace in. Peace results when we are at peace with whatever we face in life, knowing that God has allowed these things. Verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. I take you back to what we talked about Paul in his circumstances, in his life. What was he all facing as he wrote these verses? Was he at peace with his circumstances? Trust that he was, and we can only believe that he was. Verse 4, rejoice means have joy, delight, gladden yourselves in the Lord. And to emphasize the importance of this, he repeats it. He not only says it once, he says it twice. It is our duty, it is our privilege to rejoice in God and to rejoice in him always. And that's probably the hardest part, the always. All times, all conditions, in whatever situation or circumstances. Even when we are suffering for him or are afflicted by him. We know that there is plenty. There is enough and there's plenty enough that God has given us and will give us to furnish us with joy even in the worst circumstances on earth. And I say that almost shuddering, because we know that God's grace is sufficient, but we do not know what we will face. And I know it's much easier to say that than to actually live it out. Joy in God is a duty in the process of the pearl of peace. If we want to experience peace this morning, can we find God in everything we face in life? Are we convinced that God is in control of everything that happens in our lives? And as I pondered this point, my mind kept going to the words of the song, and the lyrics go like this. There's peace in knowing, Lord, you're in control. You've got your hand on my life. You got a hold on my soul. There's joy abundant. I just have to tell. I'm drinking sweet water from your living well. That's the chorus. The verse is, I've felt your presence. You've helped me stand. Been guided through trials by the touch of your hand. When lost on life's journeys, through valleys you lead. I know you're everything I'll ever need. Second verse is, you're my shelter in the wind, my cover in rain. My joy when I'm happy, my healer in pain. You're my redeemer. And you are my friend, you are my future, beginning and end. And I trust that we can feel that this morning, regardless of what you're facing, that you can feel God's presence, that he's in control in your circumstances in life. One more step this morning I'd like to highlight in the process of this precious pearl of peace, and that is in verse 8, and that is our relationship with our mind. Peace in our inner being comes from a renewed mind in Christ. So we talked about our relationship with God. We talked about our relationship with others. We talked about being at peace with our circumstances. But sometimes the hardest place to be at peace is in our own mind. Verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Peace in our inner being comes from a renewed mind in Christ. We call this the final, I'd like to call this the final step in this process of the pearl. It's that final polish that goes on that pearl that really brings the value out. We can have our relationship with God, appreciate those, our friends, those around us, understand that God controls our circumstances, but yet if we're struggling in our own mind, that's where, if we can be at peace in our own minds, I believe that's the final polish that will bring out the true beauty of this pearl. Inner peace, we must control our minds and thoughts through the power of God. If you're struggling with peace, one of the solutions to the lack of peace is to look into our minds and examine the thoughts that are there. What are we thinking? What are our thoughts? And I realized this morning that this is a very large battleground. And one of the things that makes it such a battleground is because Satan has access to our minds. And I say that carefully, because renewed mind in Christ, we have power to control our thoughts. But yet, for some reason, God allows Satan to send those little thoughts into our minds that we need to, through the power of God, we need to take them captive and crucify them and win the battle in our minds, in our thoughts. And it would be so much easier to live life if we knew that Satan couldn't have access into our minds and send those thoughts into our minds. Thinking the thoughts that God would have us think is the final polish for our pearl, but it's often the first place of attack for the devil. That's where he zeroes in on. The word keep in verse 7 that we read earlier, verse 7 says, "Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That word keep, again, is another military term. Your mind is a battle zone. And Paul's choice of words here implies that your mind needs to be protected by a military guard. We need to put a military guard around our mind. And the purpose of a military guard is to keep out the invaders and to keep in the inhabitants. So it's supposed to keep out what should be out and to keep in what should be in. To keep out corruption and to keep in God's truth. And Paul gives us a list of what to keep in our mind. And we have that here in verse 8. He talks about whatever is true. We keep in our minds what is true. We put out what is false. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. And that will do so much for us as we think about pursuing peace in our minds. You know, you are responsible for the thoughts in your mind. I am responsible for the thoughts in my mind. I can't control the thoughts in your mind. You can't control the thoughts in my mind. We're responsible, but yet we have God who will help us. And he will give us the strength to think right thoughts. But again, ultimately, it's our choice. And those thoughts will directly impact our peace. If you're not thinking about things that are true, if you're not thinking about things that are kind, if you're not thinking about things that are pure, if you're not thinking about things that are praiseworthy, you will struggle to have peace. So thankful this morning we have verse 8, and it helps us. It also helps us with another great struggle we have in peace, and the thing of our feelings can sometimes make us struggle to have peace. Is peace a feeling? What if we're not feeling peace? Does that mean that we're not at peace with God? How do we know if the feeling of our heart is an accurate indication of our condition of our heart? And again, we need verse 8. We look at the facts, and verse 8 is full of facts. It's not full of feeling, it's full of facts. And I want to highlight that this morning, that every one of these things that are mentioned is a checkpoint that we can use to test our feelings, to see if our feelings are accurate and whether our feelings are destroying the facts. Is it true? That's a fact. Truth is a fact. Is it noble? Is it right? Again. So, one other nugget about this verse, and that it is a command. It's not a suggestion. And it's a command. Paul, through the power of God, is telling us, this is what you should do. Not just saying that this is an option, but this is the formula. This is what you should do. It's a command, and it's perfectly tailored for our safety and for our spiritual good and for our peace. So this morning, if we want to experience the peace that passeth all understanding, we need to obey this command. My mind went to the verse in Isaiah where it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Wonderful blessing this morning that we can experience the priceless pearl of peace. And verse 9, I think wraps this up. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. This morning, I trust that you are experiencing the God of peace. You're experiencing peace. The pursuit of peace, everyone I believe out there is pursuing some form of peace. Some will find it, some will not. And may God help us each to find peace and to live in peace as we go through the storms of life. We know that God is with us and that he will care for us. Let's kneel for prayer. Thank you, dear God, that we can experience peace. We know it's because of you and what you have done for us. Thank you that you are with us, that you care for us. We're so blessed, Lord, that we can have a relationship with you. Thank you for giving us a Savior through your Son, Jesus. And this morning, I pray a special blessing on this church family here at Smithdale. I pray your grace, your power, your peace on them. I pray that you would help them as they face life in this community. I pray that you would help them to be strong in you, help them to have courage, and help them to be able to reflect your love and your grace to those around them. Again, we're grateful that we can worship you and pray that you would help us as we journey through life to be strong in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.